first case for argument, Shepherd v. Vatican. Mr. Thompson.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, David Thompson for the appellants. Today, Mary Shepherd suffers the same...
No, let's not start with that. Look, what I find... I don't really understand your case. Are you saying that the state is in contempt of our judgment, or what?
Well, it's not in contempt.
In contempt?
No, Your Honor, because no injunction was ever entered after the mandate was issued. So
you still have contempt, surely. So, but all right, you're not arguing contempt. So what are you arguing?
Your Honor, we are arguing that the same law that prohibited Ms. Shepherd from carrying a firearm is still in effect. And we think that the central flaw...
No, but we didn't say... All we said in our opinion, by way of a mandate, was that the state would have 180 days, and later extended 210 days, to craft a new law. So they crafted the new law within 210 days. So what's the problem?
So far, so good. The problem was that then they set the baseline that...
Yes, I know. That's a separate... Look, there is nothing in our opinion about how long the state can take to implement whatever new law it adopts. Now, if you think they're dragging their heels and violating the Second Amendment, you can bring a new lawsuit.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, we're challenging the same provision.
The only thing that we did was set a deadline for a new law. We didn't say anything about a period of implementation. So you don't have any quarrel with our decision.
Correct, Your Honor, I agree. And we don't have any quarrel. We are not challenging any provision of the new law. The injunction we seek is not to enjoin the 270 days or any component. The injunction we seek is to enjoin the flat...
An injunction, that's a new lawsuit, right?
No, Your Honor, we're seeking to enjoin the same law. We're seeking to enjoin the same law.
It doesn't matter that it's the same law. It's a new law, actually, that you're challenging.
Respectfully, Your Honor, we are not challenging the injunction that I asked this court
to enter. You are complaining about their delay in implementation, right?
We are complaining that...
No. Yes or no? Are you complaining about their delay in implementation?
Yes.
Okay, that's a new lawsuit. They're doing something you don't like. It doesn't have anything to do with our previous decision.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, we think it does because the previous decision said...
There's no basis for a lawsuit. There's no basis for seeking an injunction because they haven't disobeyed our decision. The basis of your seeking an injunction has to be that they're not carrying out our decision, but they're not violating anything in our opinion.
Your opinion said that Mary Shepherd had a constitutional right to carry, and
but we didn't decide at what point the state's failure to adopt a new law would violate her rights. Look, in 1954, the Supreme Court, Brown versus Board of Education, held that public school segregation was unconstitutional. Then it said, well, as far as remedy is concerned, we're going to decide that next term. Next term, they said, well, compliance would have to be with all deliberate speed. So it took years. Now, it may well have taken too long. But no one could have sought an injunction on the basis that the states had not instantaneously complied when they hadn't been ordered to complain instantaneously.
Your Honor, with all respect, we read the case law a little differently. When we look at a case like Associated General Contractors...
Well, you disagree with what I just said about Brown?
Well, I don't think in Brown the case was moot while the states were dragging their feet.
The Supreme Court decides Brown, says public school segregation is unconstitutional, and then says, so far as compliance is concerned, we're going to have a further hearing, and then when they have the further hearing a year later, they say, well, compliance will have to be with all deliberate speed. Now, do you think during this period The plaintiffs in Brown could have sought an injunction on the ground that the states weren't complying with the original 1954 judgment that public school segregation is unconstitutional?
Well, yes.
That's your proposition.
Our proposition is that the baseline rule in this country...
That's ridiculous, because the Supreme Court said, look, this is a big deal, desegregating the southern schools. And so we're going to take it in stages. First, we hold that segregation is unconstitutional. Then we address remedy. When they addressed remedy, they gave the states a kind of indefinite time. Now, you're saying that the plaintiffs could have upset this apple cart by seeking an injunction requiring immediate compliance when the Supreme Court had said, no, compliance is going to have to take a period of time.
The rule we submit, Your Honor, is that the baseline in this country is that when a state does not have a regulatory...
No, you don't understand. That's the baseline the Supreme Court refused. And they hold public school segregation as unconstitutional. And then they say there's going to be a period of compliance. And your proposition, you can upset their apple cart, run in, and say, well, since you've held it's unconstitutional, we're entitled to enjoin it, even though you said the states could have, you know, several years to comply.
Well, and Your Honor, respectfully, we don't think the state, for example, could say we're going to take 5 years to implement. We don't think they could take a single day.
And then that's why you would bring a new lawsuit. Right. I mean, and the problem is the precedent we would set to go with you would mean that any statute that's declared unconstitutional that deals with a state statute, the plaintiffs then have an opportunity to have instant compliance the next day. It doesn't matter what the complexity is. It doesn't matter what kind of regulatory scheme is set up. You need to have instant compliance.
Well,
I mean, essentially, that's what you're saying.
The state had, after 210 days, certainly, the state had 210 days in which to put in.
Which was right within our order.
They took it, and we did not complain during the 200.
You say that they had to implement a new law that they adopted within 210 days.
I understand, Your Honor, but what we're saying is that, for example, if there were a 51st state of the union that joined tomorrow and they didn't have a regime that allowed parades, a permitting regime for parades, or a permitting regime for campaign finance, the state could not say, the new state couldn't say, no parades, no
Yes, they could.
Of course it could.
They don't have a system set up.
Or no campaign finance.
What you're saying is the state is admitted, and now a whole bunch of people want to march naked down the main street carrying obscene signs. And you're saying, well, you know, the state wasn't able to pass a permitting statute within 5 minutes after being admitted to the union, and therefore anything goes. You want to let people without training start carrying guns in public.
Well, Your Honor, over half the states in the union that allow carriage, which is now all of them, do not require training.
But it's extremely dangerous, and there are loads of gun accidents, and the Constitution doesn't require that, you know, untrained people be allowed to carry guns in public.
Respectfully, Your Honor, what this court said is that, in citing Professor Cook's work, said that as long as there's some form of permitting regime in place...
We said, look at the mandate part of our opinion at the end. What it says is they'll have to pass a new law with reasonable restrictions. Now, if they decide training is a reasonable restriction, it's a completely separate issue from anything we addressed, whether the state can do that.
But, Your Honor, you said at one point, and I'm quoting...
Oh, come on. Do you think... What makes you think the Second Amendment... What makes you think that forbids a state to require, say, minimal training?
Well, and Ms. Shepard,
you tell me why that.
We're not advocating that, and in fact, people will be trained.
No, you are advocating because you want this. You want them to be allowed to carry the gun as long as they have an FOID Or that's what you say in your brief.
I will, but in light
yes, but
of this
that's no
oral
training,
argument,
right? That's no training.
That's no training. As a fallback, I would suggest
what do
the court
mean a fallback.
I mean that the court has the authority within its equitable jurisdiction to craft an injunction that would say to Mary Shepherd, if you have a FOID card and you have done the training.
We're not talking to Mary Shepherd. We're talking to the state of Illinois. And what are you doing negotiating with us over what kind of, what's that about?
Well, Your Honor, I'm trying to speak to the safety. The court has raised safety.
Challenge their new law. Bring a lawsuit. You know how to bring a lawsuit.
So, Your Honor.
You don't like the law? Challenge the law.
We agree that safety is important, Your Honor.
No, you don't. Because you don't understand anything about the importance of training for people allowed to carry guns.
Well, over half the states
well,
in the
how
union...
How much training do you think police officers receive before they're allowed to carry a gun?
I don't know, Your Honor.
I have
no
idea.
But there's nothing in...
an hour?
There's no empirical...
It's 10 minutes?
We're not challenging the
so
system.
So you think police don't require training in carrying to be
Your
able
Honor.
To carry a gun?
Your Honor, I didn't say that, of
Is
course.
Is that what you think?
No, Your
what
Honor.
What do you think?
I think that there's nothing in the
what
empirical...
What do you think police officers should be... How much training do you think police officers should be required?
I don't have a view on that, but it should be some, and I don't have...
Some?
Yes.
An hour? 2 hours? What do you think? What do you think the average is?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Any idea? So you have no idea... You have no idea what is a reasonable or average or normal requirement for before police are allowed to carry guns. You have no view of that. You've never looked at that. But you think that for ordinary people to carry guns, they don't require any training at all.
More than half the states in the union have reached that judgment, Your Honor. And there's nothing in the empirical...
The other half are constitutionally required
well,
to
it doesn't,
reach.
But there's...
And if you think that, you bring a lawsuit.
There's nothing in the empirical...
Challenging the statute, right? Well,
there's nothing in the empirical literature to suggest that...
That's right. And that would be something you could say in your lawsuit.
Your Honor, respectfully, I don't know of a single case in which... Someone, like the case was declared moot when they're still not able to exercise the constitutional right that they initially complained of under the same
well, that's
statute.
The Brown versus Board of Education case. If someone said the day after the Brown decision, I want my child to go to a mixed school, there's segregation, I'm tired of the segregation, so you've said it's unconstitutional, my children have a right to go to closest school, say. You're saying that person could have obtained an injunction.
Even at the very least, the case wasn't moot.
Declined to, pardon?
The case was not moot. They are suggesting the case is moot. Brown was not moot. I think it went on for close to 50 years, and I also don't think that was a model of constitutional adjudication, that we should suspend rights for years on end. And our view is that the baseline rule, going back to the 51st state, if there was no campaign...
The Supreme Court was acting unconstitutionally in Brown?
I'm saying that I don't think that's...
No, that's my question, yes or no.
Was it acting on... I'm not saying it was acting unconstitutionally. I'm saying
well,
that...
Well, on what basis would one challenge its decision by saying these kids are entitled to instant compliance?
Well, I'm saying it wasn't moot, Your Honor, which is what they're asking. They're asking that the case...
Mr. Thompson, earlier I thought I heard you say you were not challenging the statute.
Correct, Your Honor.
So... Your position is you're challenging the implementation of the statute?
No, Your Honor. We initially asked in our complaint that there be an injunction against the unlawful use statute and the aggravated unlawful use statute. We are continuing to ask that those provisions be enjoined until such time as there's a properly functioning regulatory regime. And the state has control of that. When they put in a properly functioning regulatory regime, which is issuing permits, then
so
at that point
what,
the case
what
would
is
be...
the core concern about the failure to implement? What is it? Is it just timeliness? If it was 30 days, you wouldn't have sought the injunction.
Your Honor, after the 210 days, and no, we did not complain during the 210 days.
That's a decision you made.
No, I understand.
We had a lot of decisions made here by you and the state.
Right, right. Okay. But that was one decision because we understood that there was a reasonable period of time. And right. But now that that 210 days has expired, we submit that Ms. Shepherd has a right to an injunction.
He wants you to answer the question.
What would be the parameters of the injunction you would seek?
The exact same injunction we sought at the beginning. It would be for sections 5/24-1A4, A10, and 1.6A. Those are the unlawful use and the aggravated unlawful use, and we would ask that those be enjoined, but the new law that was passed not be touched in any way, including Section 65, which has a very long list of places where you cannot carry it. We are not challenging any aspect. We are not challenging the 270 days.
Okay, under your view, a lot of people would, if they have their FOID, they can have a gun, right, and carry a gun.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then what they would do is when the regime came in place, they'd have to run back and do whatever training. They would essentially have the FOIA card and then either get grandfathered in or have to go back and do the training.
Yes, and they can start doing the training as of Monday night. The state has posted instructors and a curriculum, and the training is ongoing right now. And yet still people, even though they're trained, cannot carry, even though they will have taken a class certified by the state, even though it's a constitutional right and they've been fully trained, they will not be able to carry. And I know of no case like
that. Why won't they be able to carry?
Because they're not allowed to apply until January 5th. The state has said we will not make the application.
Okay. This coming January 5th?
Correct, Your Honor.
So that's what you're here about, whether it's January, whether it's October 3rd or January 5th?
And then, Your Honor, they say they're going
to
take
this. You come up to this court.
Well, then they say they're going to take 90 days.
What were you going to say?
Then it's not just January 5th, Your Honor. Then they're going to take a full 90 day, up to 90 days and perhaps longer, mm-hmm. to actually grant the license. So it's April. We're talking about 6 months where constitutional right acknowledged by this court will be flagrantly violated.
Look, think of how your people, think how furious they'll be. So your idea is, okay, today they get to carry their guns. As long as they have an FOID card, whether they're trained or not, they carry their guns, all happy, carry the guns for the next 3 months, and then all of a sudden, they're told, can't carry your gun anymore. That's good. Thousands of people are going to be told, and they'll say, well, we were trained and this and that and the other thing, and they won't let us apply. We have to give up our guns on January 5th. Or give up carrying our guns?
No, our view.
Isn't that going to cause a great deal of unhappiness?
Your Honor, that's not our position.
Isn't that going to cause a great deal of unhappiness?
It would. It's not our position, but that result.
But it will cause a great deal of unhappiness.
That
right?
result would. It's not our view, though.
Excuse me?
Our view is that it would be not until the licenses are actually issuing, that there's a functioning regime.
No, but they'll be very unhappy, these people. That's what I'm asking you, won't they? You know them. They're your clients.
They would be.
Pardon?
They would be with that result, Your Honor.
Very happy. Under your view.
No, that's not our view. Our view is that not until the licenses actually issue, not when they put the application online, but when they start granting licenses to people who are properly trained and meet all the requirements.
I've lost you completely.
Okay.
Under their implementation, when will they start granting licenses?
So the applications are made available in the first week of January, and they have said they will take up to 90 days.
90 days.
To issue. So our view is when they start granting those licenses, that's when this lawsuit would become moot.
No, but you're not following me. On your view, as of today, anybody with an FOID card can carry a gun, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
But at some point next year, they're going to be required to get a license, aren't they?
Your Honor, but our view of the
are they or not?
Yes, but
well,
we...
Well, but suppose they don't qualify or...
If they don't qualify, then
they have to give up their gun.
That's true, so yes.
Saying they have a lawful right to carry the gun until the licensing scheme goes into effect, whereupon... Their gun is taken away, or you know,
they don't do the
no
training.
They're no longer allowed to carry it. That's your view.
They don't
Aren't
do
they
the training.
Aren't they going to be very unhappy?
If they don't do the training or otherwise don't qualify, then they have a problem.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Thompson. So, Mr. Berlo.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. I suppose I'd like to begin with, Judge Flom, your question about what it is that the plaintiffs are actually seeking here. Because it's important to add one caveat. What the plaintiffs sought in the injunction that their permanent injunction that they asked for in the district court was an injunction to components of the new law. And the plaintiffs seem to suggest that the old law and the new law are exactly the same. And in making this argument, in essence, what they're asking this court to do is infuse the mootness analysis that this court goes through with a subjective test. If the new law and the old law feel exactly the same from the subjective point of view of the individual, then the case is not moot. That simply can't be the case, and there's good reason for that. First, that's not the standard that's set forth by this court and by the U.S. Supreme Court when mootness is the result of a legal change. What the court looks to is whether or not there has been a significant change in the law, one that substantially alters the way that the court would review the old law and the new law. And here, plainly, there is. Where the old law, as Judge Posner pointed out, does not allow for any possibility of allowing someone to carry a firearm in public, the new law does. And any challenge to a provision of the new law that relates to a restriction on the availability of licenses or license applications is, by its very nature, a challenge to the new law. That's why this case is moot. In addition, if you adopt sort of the subjective perspective test that the plaintiffs are asking for here, then what you have to do, in essence, is construe their complaint as a challenge to any law that would restrict their ability to carry a firearm in public, no matter the content of that law, because two very different laws can feel identical from the subjective point of view of the individual. An individual can be prohibited from carrying a firearm in public because a state, perhaps Illinois, has a categorical permanent ban on that activity. And then that same individual could also be prevented from carrying a firearm in public because the state has since adopted a law that prohibits an individual from who's an alcoholic from carrying a firearm in public. We certainly would not say that a complaint challenging the first of those laws is essentially the same thing as challenging the second of those laws. The only other issue that's really presented here beyond mootness, which is, it seems to me, a very straightforward issue under well-established precedent, is whether this court's mandate encompassed a determination that the new law is unconstitutional. A new law, I might add, that didn't even exist when this court decided Moore. And as Judge Posner's colloquy with my colleague points out, that simply can't be the case. The new law is, in fact, very different. And what I have to say, I'm somewhat perplexed by my colleague's presentation here, because the critical question here is not one of Second Amendment reasonableness. The question is not whether the new law violates the Second Amendment, either under McDonald, under Heller, under Moore. The question presented here is simply whether or not the plaintiff can use a law challenging the old statutory regime as a basis for challenging the new statutory regime, and then whether Moore specifically encompassed a determination that an aspect of the new statutory regime is unconstitutional. And as unless the court has any specific questions about our position or about the state of the law, I'm certainly content to rest on our briefs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Berlo. So your time expired, Mr. Thompson, but you can have another minute if you'd like.
Your Honor, I don't have anything to add unless the court has any questions, in which case.
Well, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case for argument is Colt.